Heart-wrenching images were seared into our brains this week. There was the sea of runners veering and stumbling as a bomb exploded behind this row of colorful flags near the finish line at the Boston Marathon. There was a blinding flash and a stunning boom and soaring flames at a fertilizer factory that exploded in Texas. There was the chilling surveillance footage of young, troubled immigrant brothers apparently responsible for the horrendous carnage in Boston. And then there was the sweet face of a gap-toothed 8-year-old who died in that carnage. In that image, little Martin Richard holds a hand letter poster that reads, "No more hurting people. Peace." And it's decorated with hearts and a peace symbol. In a twist on Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote that clergy should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, a contemporary theologian blogged a couple of days ago, "This week, the Bible and the newspaper are capable of being held in one hand." You are my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in right paths for your name's sake. Just so happens that the 23rd Psalm is the psalm appointed for the fourth Sunday after Easter. It's a natural companion to our gospel text today in which Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Well, does this idyllic psalm seem too ancient today, too impotent? Is it somehow too warm and fuzzy after everything that has happened this week? You know, where are those green pastures and those still waters now? Where are they now? We take a closer look at John chapter 10. It's specifically noted here that Jesus is speaking in an area of the temple that's called Solomon's Portico. Details like that don't appear for nothing. It happens that Solomon's Portico is a place where a king would come and pronounce judgments. This was a place for judgments. And so now here we have Jesus who embodies God's justice. Jesus, who is God's justice incarnate, is walking here and saying, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." What do we hear? How do we follow? "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me." This psalm acknowledges what everyone who lives on planet Earth already knows, and that is that evil exists. That evil is real. That evil is systematic and random, and it's never very far away. Terrorism, disasters, war, disease, cyberbullying, domestic violence, addiction, racism, gossip, the endless hurts that we inflict on one another's hearts day after day. Evil is never very far away. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." It's said that our first impulse in the face of evil is fear, and the second is vengeance. The first impulse in the face of evil is fear, and the second is vengeance. So the psalmist notes the existence of evil and enemies, that there are forces and people who would do us harm. But the focus is on God's presence. The focus is on God's comfort and blessing, and yes, even abundance. In his essay, "The 23rd Psalm in an Age of Terror," Timothy Simpson writes that the psalmist's impulse is for vengeance. The impulse for vengeance is short-circuited by a deep awareness of God's grace, which redirects the energy that would have been drained to enact retribution and instead is harnessed to render joyful thanksgiving. Simpson says that the psalm presents an alternative worldview, one in which reactive violence is shunned in favor of a process rooted in faith. Imagine that, living in the world out of our faith. A reflective moment of thanksgiving between that impulse for vengeance and the possibility of enacting that vengeance creates a space for the possibility of transformation. Personal transformation, societal transformation, and transformation of the enemy. And transformation of the one who would say to the enemy, "May you burn in hell." Transformation. What is a Christian response to evil? Even after 9/11, there were churches that thought that shock and awe was the response. Bomb them back to the Stone Age. Has that created peace in the Middle East? Has that created peace on earth? So then do we instead just descend into hopelessness? Hopelessness, we who come here every Sunday because we believe that God came to live among us in the flesh, that God died for us, and that God was raised again to life, for the life of this world. Where are those green pastures and still waters for us? Don't we gather at this table to be filled with a love that overcomes all the forces of evil? Don't we rise up from the waters of baptism able to see with the eyes of Christ and forgive with the heart of Christ and heal with the love of Christ? With arms wide open, doesn't Christ embrace all of this wounded world and offer to it a peace that we can barely even understand? We will never be snatched from God's hand. No more hurting people. Let us believe with the faith of a child. Let's see that picture of Martin again. Because it is with the faith of a child that the kingdom, we enter into the kingdom of God. No more hurting people. Peace. Let each one of us hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and truly follow Jesus. Let each one of us look inside and admit our own role in the pain of another person. And then pray and really mean the prayer, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Let each one of us give thanks that God in Christ has revealed to us that suffering and violence and death is not what God desires for us, and it's not our destiny, but that Christ's reign of peace has begun, and that we need fear no evil, and that through love we shall overcome. With the love of Christ breathing in this world, we shall overcome. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house my whole life long. Amen.